Hello. Welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode has spoilers for scenario number 2 in the first part of this episode and scenario number 67 in the second part of the episode. Please enjoy responsibly. So, there we were. We'd slogged our way through this dungeon. Our Spellweaver is just out of gas. He barely makes it to the trigger plate, slamming the door open wide. The brute goes running heroically in, and are you freaking kidding me? Like, who put this there? Like, what were they thinking? How are we even supposed to be able to overcome this?
Oh, no!
Oh, no. We're in hot water yet again. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for joining us once again. Quick rundown on the group. I'm Casey. I'm playing the brute named Etu.
I'm Garrett. I'm playing the Orchid Spellweaver named Tanzanite Stonechest.
Hi, I'm Skip. I'm playing the Vermling Mind Thief, Skeevil the Shiv.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as Bronstonimo the Firm, and he's a tinkerer.
So when we last left off, we had just finished scenario number 1, which is the top part of the Black Barrow. And we're making our way down to the Barrow Lair. We kind of got our butts kicked a wee bit in the upper portion, but you know what? We're just learning the game. We got things figured out. We swapped in some X cards. We're feeling really confident about down below. So, you know, we kicked the door in, and awesome. We get to start with 3 curses in our deck apiece, because the first scenario didn't start off much better than that. So we just keep that rolling. But I feel like we handled it pretty well, right? The first room had a bunch of archers in it.
Yeah.
We managed to clear them out without dying and without dropping random traps in the corner of the room, which was a key component, as you'll find out later. And then we go ahead and kick the door in. And for starters, this is already like a shorter scenario, right? As far as layout, there's only like 2 main rooms. There's a few rooms off that main room, but the boss is in.
It was like 4 doors, right?
Yeah, the boss is in room 2. There's a couple of archers next to him. There's some tables between them and us, and there's 4 doors. And the boss does special stuff where he can go and open the doors to bring more things in. But all we got to do is kill the boss. So if we just kill him before he opens those doors, we're good.
And he was a bandit what now?
He was a bandit commander, which is a special boss type. He had what, like 20 something hit points?
I thought it was closer to like 30 or so. I don't remember.
It was 20,
exactly.
Mid-20s.
You have the box. You should check it out.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
Ugh. I think his name was Keith, if I remember.
Yeah, we did have a bit of a dialogue beforehand, right?
I think that's what he said. Yeah.
So anyway, I felt like we handled ourselves pretty good in this this scenario. So he had a thing where he moves the doors to open them, but he kind of teleports to them. And so Steve, Stonechest, had a great idea.
Yeah, this was so after the first scenario where I used the trap to, I'll say, less than effective usage.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know, behind us, and then we ran away from it. And then, you know, I double checked, and I was like, okay, so he's going to teleport and open these doors on one of these actions. I'm going to get clever, run up, plant a trap on a door, and it was like a turn or two later, and he jumped onto it, doing 6 damage. That felt real good.
Yeah, not only that.
Except now he was right next to me.
He was right next to you, but luckily, he was also between you and the horde of living corpses that were in the room behind him, and he was a little bit trapped.
Valid.
It also kept all of them from coming out to attack us, which is fantastic.
Yep. And then I had the archers tied up because I kind of hopped over the table with my leap and it was taking them down. So I was kind of able to focus them while y'all were focusing on working the commander over. And I mean, we took down the archers, then we chewed through the commander, and then we just wiped up the living corpses that were behind him. Easy peasy.
He never actually got the second door open, did he?
He didn't. He just got the one door. And part of that was probably a little luck on our side, which with the card draws. But
yeah,
we looked for a moment like we knew what we were doing.
Which we quickly remedied.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've got a reputation to uphold, us party poopers.
Exactly.
So anyway, we get that wrapped up. We get the plot points from that. We found I guess it was upstairs in the first room. We found a map to a secret location, which was the Arcane Library. All right, guys. So before we transition over to this next scenario, I want to introduce a new segment. We didn't do it in week 1 because we just had pizza for, I just ordered some pizza week one. This wasn't exciting, but I want to start a segment called What's Cooking. Let you guys know what we are dining on while we are playing through Gloomhaven. Because I actually went out of my way to cook for this second meetup. And then the plan is to go start playing at Steve's place more often. And Steve has got a bit of a reputation for actually knowing what he's doing in the kitchen and cooking up some yummy stuff. So I feel like this segment's going to have some good legs to it. And
don't anybody believe that. I have no idea what I'm doing.
I guess if you're comparing it to the rest of us, you are a professional.
That's fair. So anyway, I cooked chili for this session, which it was a good weekend for chili, I think. Starting to get a bit of crispness in the air. It's a good kickoff to the winter season, I suppose. Nothing too fancy, just follow a recipe, make a couple of adjustments. But I will say it did win first place hot in the chili cookoff at work a couple years ago. So
now, did you make this batch hot? I don't recall it being spicy.
I made it. I made this batch. So I control my heat. So it calls for chili powder. But instead of doing chili powder, I put in the the McCormick's chili spice mix packs.
Right.
And so I use that to control my heat. And so this one was a one mild pack and one hot pack. So it was a little bit middle of the road. I would have gone spicier, but I knew my wife was going to want to eat some for dinner and she doesn't like it too hot. So I mellowed it out just a little bit for that.
That's fair.
It was real tasty though. And perfect for that kind of weather.
And you know, we decided we weren't going to bring up Skip's wonderful desserts, but I have to make an honorable mention here. Skip brought the thin Oreos. Are they Oreo thins? Is that what they're called?
They are. Yeah, they are just.
Yeah.
That's the greatest people. Oreo. Oh, my God.
It is. I had no idea. It's so much less Oreo. You're like, why would these be good? But oh, my. Yeah.
My favorite thing Skip brought, though, was his own personal dessert that I didn't try. The salted caramel Pepsi.
Oh, God.
Oh wow, that was just a pain. So with response to the thin Oreo thins, you make up for it by eating more of them. I feel that way, so they're that good. But yes, the salted caramel Pepsi was rough. One sip was all it took, but a friend told me later it mixes really well with rum or whiskey, I think. And I went home and it worked out really well.
Interesting.
We'll put it that way.
I still don't think I would have taken that chance after looking at the way your face looked. You know?
I think you drink a bunch of rum first and then you try it.
Sure.
The ratio was a lot of rum. Okay,
yeah. Also, Skip left his Oreo thins at my house and they did not survive that long.
Nice.
Okay, so let's move on to the next scenario. So we go back to town victorious, you know, as we do. Kind of showing off, spending our money. And this Arcane Library seems like a cool place to go check out. So we do. We go, and this is scenario number 67. So we're excited.
And by this time, we had realized the mistake with the city events and road events.
Yes, so we had only shuffled in the first 30 this time, which also meant going through the entire deck of all of them to pick out the first 30 because they had been thoroughly shuffled.
It was pretty baller to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of events, I don't remember. The city event there was forgettable. Not much there.
The one
was this the fire?
The one before the crypt?
The one before the arcane library.
Oh, I don't know. I know the other one we did, there was a priest asking us to find something.
Yeah, that's true. That might have been that one. Anyway, but the road event.
Poor
gentleman with a broken axle.
Yeah, I got some words about the road event. Thank you.
Well,
I was the only one who didn't want to do it. I didn't trust this guy who breaks an axle on a smooth road. So you're all like, oh, let's help him. He's fine.
Okay, and another thing about this road event. So if you remember our first city event, which we helped a dude from getting beat up, and then the city turned on us, like the vicious savages they are, they wanted blood and they were not happy with us. Our reputation went down. I believe,
which, by the way, was when Tanzanite said she wanted to go for full negative rep.
That's right. A vow was made. We're doing negative reps.
I never said that.
I was ready to stick to it.
You did say that. And we were all behind you 100%. Yeah, we're going negative reputation on this thing because this is the type of city we live in. We don't want to be a part of it. So
apparently, until we get to Broken Axles.
Yeah, then we get Broken Axle just outside of town. And it's like, hey, you want to help this dude? Or do you want to steal all his stuff?
I mean, that's fair. We were going to tie him up first, I believe, was what it said.
Well, yeah.
Which seemed a little excessive.
Well, you know, snitches get stitches, so we need to stay where he was at. So, yeah, perfect opportunity to really just, I mean, this is a critical moment for this group. Are we going to follow through with our...
our negative rep?
Yes, our negative rep. And they were like, oh, well, that seems kind of mean. I don't know.
These road events take the full ends of the spectrum, help or straight up take.
Oh,
you can't just walk away and ignore. I mean,
we are a party of action, sir.
Yeah.
We do not stand idly by.
Well, it's hard to say you were a party of action on this one because we decide to help. And then I, as the tinker, do all the work.
I feel like thematically me as a brute got to hold up the cart while you fix the axle. And that's really all I'm looking for is to show you how buff I am. Not you in particular. That's creepy, but
just anybody watching
the world. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right.
So we help him and really just fail at being evil. So sorry about that.
I don't even remember what we got. I think you guys each got like 5 gold from it. And I was just like, this is crap.
I think we got 5 gold just total. Like, that's it.
Which is even more crap.
And maybe one reputation. I don't know. But at that point, the going dark side was just out of the question at that point.
Some of us have to earn our gold through deeds. 5 gold matters, okay?
You act like that's maybe a burden placed upon you. anywho, after turning a good leaf, we trudge off to this arcane library. And, okay, so Garrett's character, the spellweaver, has a life goal of finding a cure because there's some stuff.
Yeah.
There's a plague in my village or in a village I was in. And, you know, I'm trying to fix that, right? And the way to fix that is by slaughtering imps because they know stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Specifically forest imps, right?
Yes, forest imps.
So what do we find in the first room of this arcane library? 7 forest imps.
And a couple of bears.
Yeah, a couple of bears, sure. But we can handle the bears.
Yep.
But I feel like our spellweaver kind of went all out on this first room full of forest imps.
Well, not only did we have forest imps, we had forest imps who were kind enough to group themselves in the patterns of like my AoEs. So yep. It's like, well, here we go. I'm just going to knock out this card, which obviously worked, you know, flawlessly.
Yes.
Except you knocked out this card and then this card and then this card and then that card to kill them all. But man, did you kill them all.
He did.
Were you feeling a little tired after that, buddy?
Well, you know, I did all this killing and I was like, awesome. You know, we slaughtered our way through the forest imps. The cave bears are dead. This is easy peasy. Let's go, you know, loot the chest and get out of here. Oops, so, there's like 3 giant hallways to go and like swamps and ugh.
Yeah, so we kick
traps and rocks.
Yep. We kick open the next door after slogging our way through enemies. And yeah, it's just traps and rocks that we have to go around and a lot of distance. Like it's a serious encounter crossing this. Just there's no enemies in here, but it is still a serious encounter crossing this room. Not to mention the door on the other side is locked and there's a pressure plate in the other corner that opens the door.
Now, just to be clear on just how stupid I went in the entry room, I had already burned my cards and burned my get my lost cards back card. So leaving the first room, I had, you know, like 3-4 cards in my hand. It was not good.
So, yeah, and then it still took a few turns to get across the room. And we're trying to like somebody has to go in the corner. And we didn't know at the time how to keep the door open because it shut as soon as you stepped off the trigger plate. And we're like, well, the spellweaver's worthless at this point anyway. You might as well use your body for good. And so he just takes her over and sits her on the pressure plate.
Well, he wasn't done at first, though, because he opened the door and we used that to effect before he took a nap.
But he also stepped off to close it and be effective as well. So
that's correct.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah, there was some additional forest imps felt to the fury of a door. But that doesn't matter. Those forest imps were irrelevant because that door opens. I'm getting ready to charge in on whatever's on the other side. There's an there's a golem. Okay.
There was a thing on the other side.
There's an arcane golem. Okay.
How much health did he have?
Go ahead and flip him to level 2. Oh, that sucks. Yep. And multiply his health by 4. He had 56 hit points, guys. 56. This is our third episode. We're down a freaking Spellweaver. We're like half our cards left. We're tired. We're exhausted. We don't have the resources to deal with this. How are we supposed to have the resources to deal with it?
Room 2 was full of traps and like obstacles that you had to burn a ton of movement to get through. And then room 3 was kind of just like a hallway, but you're having to kill a lot of card to get from first encounter to the next enemy. Like it probably more than any other map.
This was go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say this was really the first scenario that showed the importance of the jump mechanic.
Yes.
To get past these things, and
which I don't have.
Yeah, and I was quick to discard it on short rest, or not short rest, but long rest, and I never really saw the importance until we got to this room, because you had to do a lot of fancy movement, a lot of it.
Yeah, because not only did you have to get across the room, but there were traps in front of the door that we needed open, and I was able to use my jumps to cross that room fairly quickly, but I still had to wait on the rest of the group to catch up and touch the trigger in the corner so you can go anywhere. So,
yep.
And now we've got this golem with 56 hit points and shield, and we're just little level ones, just trying to do the best we can in the world, and we just don't have the cards to deal with this. Like, there's no freaking way. There's no way.
Or is there?
So I go in the room first, and I guess we bait out a couple imps. We kill one with a door. I go in.
You've offed a couple on the way, I believe.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I go in and start fighting the golem. Skip's Mind Thief gets in there. And somehow, Steve, your Tinkerer ended up like so far behind everybody else. I don't remember how that happened.
Because I don't have the jump, and I had to like walk around all the rocks and traps and stuff.
Which slowed you down that much. Like a chump,
yeah. I was embarrassed. Not as embarrassed as Tots, but embarrassed.
I mean, I was dead in the corner, so yeah. I mean, at least you were still kind of participating.
You weren't dead. You were exhausted. You're just like,
you but, guys got we've glossed over this twice. I killed someone with a door. Like,
I agree.
Damn it, that deserves recognition.
That was absolutely my favorite part, because I just visualized you like standing there, ready, and then you just lift your foot from the door trip real quick while the thing gets crushed in there.
It was beautiful.
And the little like forest imp wings sticking out from between the door seam.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, key point we have to make here, the golem could not go through the door.
He couldn't. We tried everything to cheese that, to pull him through the door. And the rules are just like, nope, he cannot go through the door no matter what shenanigans you try to pull. So that like took extra turns to get him to us. I mean, we have to deal with these traps. There's just no way. Like, I'm in there fighting him a little bit. And then the Mind Thief gets in there, and like, we're to the point, I'm like, look, we're not winning this. So if you don't mind, if you could just tank him for a turn, I'm going to run up over here and grab this chest, because maybe it has like a wand of golem killing in it, because that's really our only option. It didn't have that at all. It had like 10 experience points, which, I mean, that's cool, but like, that's not going to kill a golem for me. But anyway, then
we went to Stun City, though.
Yeah, we stun locked this guy for like 5 or 6 turns in a row. And then Rat Swarm again is like, guys, I'll take this. I'll tank him for you. No worries. No worries.
He kept missing the rats.
Yeah, he did. He kept missing the rats. When he wasn't stunned, he attacked rats and missed. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful plan we had going along. Yeah, it was well calculated.
Yes, we thought of it up front. It was totally deliberate.
Yeah, anyway. Moral of the story, this fool stun locked for like 6 turns, and he somehow died, guys. He somehow died. It's pretty impressive if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I don't think we actually even had any crits on our attacks. We just straight up brute force through it.
Yep.
And this is really in keeping with what we've talked about before, that this game just seems to just really skin of your teeth, like get you down to the wire every time. Awesome.
You know my favorite part about that golem, by the way?
What's that?
Like, we go in there, we stun lock him, we have rats biting him, we're smashing him in the face, right? Uh-huh. We finally beat him, and he thanks us.
Yeah, apparently. He was like in prison in there and didn't even want to fight, and we didn't want to fight him, but we had to. It was just the whole thing, and anyway, he's dead. He's dead, and the map, our Gloomhaven map, commemorates our success.
Yes.
I'm still shocked we were able to defeat him, to be honest. This is going to be a theme. The skin of the teeth is going to be a theme going forward.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're real good at that.
Yeah, we're real, real good at that. So,
like, this is far from the closest call.
Yeah. Oh, like, I'm kind of conditioned at this point that nothing is impossible, guys. Nothing.
Well, I still felt we were kind of inexperienced in the fact that, like, you know, I didn't know to save my jump card at this point because I didn't think any rooms would be this bad. And then I've learned, you know, hold off on that one, discard other things. And
but that's the crazy thing that I think, like, Casey's talking about with that is that we kept bombing things early in some of these rounds and still pulled it out of thin air.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. Like, we're still trying to figure things out. And this isn't like scenario three, right? We decided to go off on this random dungeon that we, like, it was a literally like we pulled a random card from the deck. Okay, this one's open now. So it probably doesn't
We thought it was going to be weak because it was a library. Like,
right. We'll go get some knowledge. So it probably didn't consider, like, I imagine the couple of the early scenarios was like, okay, these guys are still trying to figure stuff out. It'll be a little soft. But this one is this was hardcore. And we still overcame it. And we got a sweet, sweet item out of it. It's item number 132. And so, real quick, just kind of close your ears for a few seconds if you don't want spoiled on it. It's a power core.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty sweet. It lets us summon something else. So, our party is super summons heavy at this point.
Great. I'm putting that on me. Now gives me two summons, one with a good ranged attack and one with a good melee attack. You know, that makes a lot of damage potential come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and considering how quick you exhausted, it was a good thing to give you like any extra items we could.
Right.
For sure.
And it's not like I can buy any items, you know.
Yeah, because you're a snob and won't pick up money off the floor.
I think it's kind of hard with a little thief guy running around grabbing it all.
So this is where we ended our session for the evening. It was a great place to end it because it made us feel great about ourselves. You know, we just overcame the odds here somehow by some miracle. It felt wonderful. And I think three of us leveled up after this.
I believe so. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun, too. You get your first level up, get some more hit points, get your new cards. So that was it was a good session overall. Also, so a big change that was made between this session and the first session was after the first session, I realized setup and takedown needed some assistance. It was just taking too long to set everything up. I figured there would be better ways to do them. So I did a little bit of searching on the Googles. Like, there's got to be better ways to organize this whole setup. And I'm aware that there's like inserts you can buy for the game. Like Broken Token makes one. A couple other groups make one. They're like 60 or 70 bucks, though. And they really seem more for storing it cleanly. But it was tough to tell how much it would actually help set up time. So I found myself a nice little website. It's BoardGameBuds.com, top five accessories you'll want from Gloomhaven. And it had a handful of recommendations in there of some cheaper products that you can buy that will help your setups. I went with two of those. I went with So the first thing I went with was just simple envelopes. A2 is the size, and each one of those is big enough to fit for all your creatures. Their stat card with their hit points and stuff, it'll hold that. Their deck of action cards, it'll hold that. And all their standees, it'll hold that, all that. So, like, for each one, you label it cultist. You put the cultist cards, deck, and standees in there. Then you have about 50 of those for all the different enemy types, and you can sort them alphabetically, and they fit great in, like, the bottom of a toolbox. And so now anytime it asks for certain creatures, it's real quick for me to go and get them, put them out. And then when it's cleanup time, just throw them back in the envelope. You're good to go. The other thing I did was got a file folder. The Amazon Basics one is great. It comes with like 13 or 14 sleeves to it. And all of the map tiles can fit in there. You can alphabetize them. So like put all the A tiles in here and the B's in here. And so whenever the map says, hey, you need these five tiles, it's really easy to go find those as well. It also keeps the box itself a little more orderly because all that stuff just moved out of the base box and more of just the character stuff is in there. So we've done a few more optimizations as well. We don't use damage markers. We use little D6s and D20s. So those small changes, I feel like it's affected setup time quite a bit. We're especially going from one scenario to another, we're getting things set up a lot quicker.
And having it organized the way you do makes it a little easier, so you can delegate to us. Like one person's getting the creatures, other person's pulling out map components, stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's a much better setup, and it didn't cost me more than like $15 or $20.
It's a little crazy to pay like the price of the game to organize the game. And again, that's not to say the craftsmanship on this stuff's not amazing. I've seen some of these like wood kits and stuff that are gorgeous, but damn, you know? And yeah. We move around, like we do it at different houses, so we can't just have like the dedicated like Gloomhaven shrine somewhere.
I kind of want that now, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell what we do,
candles,
get a workout.
And wood carvings.
We get a workout carrying it from house to house. At least I do. But it's good. It's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I live in a third story apartment.
It's at least possible to carry it around now with the setup I've got, and that's the important part. So which of us leveled up that session? I leveled up.
I think it was everyone but me.
Everybody, that's correct. Yeah.
But you. Okay. So I think it would be good to kind of go through like our card choices, right? So for the brute, I had the choices of my level two cards was Juggernaut and Fatal Advance. Fatal Advance allows you to kill one adjacent normal enemy and to get 2 experience point at the cost of a loss. And the bottom lets you do a move 4. Initiative is 40. So for a brute, that's decent speed. Move 4 is always great, especially with some of your other cards where you can get damage off movement. You've got an X card that kind of lets you do damage based on how quick you move. And then you've got boots. The Boots of Striding is something you definitely want on your brute. So you can get that up to a move 6. So that's a great bottom. But I don't know. Kill one adjacent enemy. Normal enemy for a loss just seems, I don't know. I don't, especially after the first few sessions, I was shying away from lost cards a bit. Juggernaut, however, the top was move 2, attack 2, which the attack's not great, but being able to move from your top is pretty nice. And then you do have a couple of spare dagger kind of has an attack on bottom. It lets you get a little bit of movement, or if you wanted to, you know, loot, you can move first, get an attack in, do some loot. So it's got some good combinations there. And then the bottom, on the next 3 sources of damage to you, suffer no damage instead, which as much as I like to jump in and stir up hornet's nest and tank, that's a good option for later on in the game. So I ended up going with Juggernaut there. And I replaced Shield Bash, I believe, as the card that I cut out there. So Shield Bash is, it was an attack 4 stun at a loss. And then the bottom was just Shield 1 self, which, so it was really limited in most situations. So I just went ahead and got rid of that one and put in something a little less damage, but a little more consistent, a little more flexible.
All right. Well, I leveled up as well on my I leveled up as well on my Spellweaver, and I got rid of the Ride the Wind card because it is a loot 1, and I'm role playing a character who doesn't loot. In hindsight, that was probably not a good move because the bottom of that card is move 8 with jump. Which would have really been handy a lot of times. But that's the one I got rid of.
Is that a loss on that one?
It's a loss on the move, yeah.
Okay.
But not on the loot. I replaced it with Icy Blast, which gives you 7 targets kind of in a cluster. Attack 2, range 3, muddle, ice creation element, and 2 experience points. And it's a loss, but... the bottom of that card is a heal 6 range 2, also on a loss. So either way you use that card, it's going to be gone. But as we will talk about later, that card has come in handy multiple times. I definitely think you should get that one, but maybe don't replace Ride the Wind. Your mileage may vary there.
Okay. I also leveled as the Mind Thief, and my choice was the Wretched Creature, because our rats had been serving a pretty decent purpose when a call to action. So I figured this one would just basically add a little more of the same support. If it really came down to it, they could just be a dummy for a turn and let us get in a couple more hits. And this one turned out to be a much larger version, did more attack, did more or moved a little faster, and would just come around and do what it needs to do when we needed it, kind of thing. But it also gave us the additional option of curse. So as long as there was the moon element out, we could throw a curse in their deck and then give that possibility of a general miss, which I was hoping would come into play more than it has or did that the first round. But so I don't exactly remember what card I took out. There were so many very similar cards. It was probably an augment that I didn't feel was cutting it at that point. So I went with the summon monstrous rat for which is the wretched creature, and then the curse, and it seems to work pretty well with the setup we have, where our tank comes in and really draws attention to him as much as possible. I can bring in the two guys to help him out as much as possible, and then if my initiative gets fast enough, then they'll draw attention back away from the tank to help him out a little bit if we haven't removed all the creatures anyway. So it's worked out pretty well for the most part. I haven't had any issues with it. Some of the readings I've done on this character, they don't really lean toward these summons, but I think in our group, it's actually worked out pretty well.
Great. Yeah, those have been crucial. I can't imagine us going without rats at all.
It, for the entertainment value of nothing else, like those rats steal the show sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
And again, I love your fiction with that, Tots, is that their health is just the number of rats in the swarm. Yeah. So when we're healing them back up, we're just adding more rats.
Little inside baseball real quick. I muted my mic so you couldn't hear, but I've been sitting here eating Fuego Takis the whole podcast and then rubbed my eyes while Skip was talking. Oh. And I'm in so much pain. Just like habanero dust ground into my eyeballs. Like, oh my God.
You're playing a true spell weaver.
That is the power of the Taki. And if they want to sponsor us, feel free.
Are we going to do this like every podcast? We're just going to have a random snack we're trying to get sponsored us.
Look, sure, if just one of them does it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down. I'm not complaining. I just like that it's working out this way. Was it balls last time?
Yes. Yeah. Surprisingly good.
After all right. these years. Do you guys remember what you did for perks, by the way?
I got rid of some minus cards, and I don't remember what the other one was.
I got rid of negative effects on equipment cards, which meant I could use hide armor without putting negative ones into my deck, which is a big deal.
That is. Nice.
Yeah. I got rid of four minus ones out of mine. That was really nice.
With a single perk? Damn.
No, it was. I think I had two perks at that point.
Okay, guys, that wraps up our misadventures for this session. Please join us again next time when the Spellweaver takes an extended nap. And the rest of us go send some messages to people in the Gloomhaven universe.
And everybody, if you will, tweet us at GPub Radio. We're on Facebook at Gamer Public Radio. And we hope to see you guys on our Gamer Public Radio episodes as well.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com. Or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.